As a family lawyer, one of, if not the most frequent calls from a panicked parent comes when a vacation is days away and the other parent won't sign the required consents or travel documents. That can mean some pretty exciting trips to Disney World or the Caribbean or elsewhere aren't in jeopardy, and travel insurance probably won't cover the lost trip. Sometimes the other parent has legitimate concerns, but more often that parent is bitter or jealous of the trip or worried that it will give the traveling parent an advantage with the children. To avoid these difficult situations, this episode of the Ontario Family Law Podcast explains the law around kids traveling after separation, how to avoid problems, and what to do when they come up. I'm John Schumann, a certified specialist in family law in Ontario. I'm also a mediator, arbitrator, and collaborative lawyer. This podcast is a companion to my book, Guide to the Basics of Ontario Family Law, which is available on the iBookstore, Amazon, Kobo, and in fine bookstores. Except in a pandemic or into a war zone, travel is usually a great experience for kids and can be a learning opportunity as well as a fun time. As I went over in great detail in episode 59, under the family laws that came into effect in March 2021, the only consideration in decisions that separated parents make about the children is what option is in the children's best interests. That's not an abstract concept. There's several specific factors that the parents should consider, and when they don't, the judges will use in deciding what happens with the kids. As I will go over in episode 75, doing things to interfere with the children's relationship with the other parent can have some serious negative consequences in family court.
Oh.
So, when deciding whether to take the kids on a trip, or when deciding whether to allow the other parent to take the kids on the trip, the only consideration should be whether that trip is in the children's best interest. Keeping in mind that unless a trip poses some sort of risk of harm to the children, then a judge would consider the trip to be in the children's best interest. That means that if the matter goes to court, the judge will allow the trip and sanction a parent who is blocking it.
No!
When will a trip be potentially too harmful for the kids to go? The list of circumstances in past court decisions in which a judge refused to allow kids to travel is very short. Those circumstances include destinations for which Foreign Affairs Canada has issued a travel advisory to avoid travel, or in some circumstances, destinations where Foreign Affairs cautions to use a high degree of caution where the circumstances could be particularly dangerous for children. Countries that are not signatories to the Hague Convention on the Civil Aspects of International Child Abduction, where there is a real risk, not just a suspicion, that the traveling parent will not return with the children.
Oh.
Travel that interferes with school, but only where the children have special learning needs that mean that missing school will put them at a disadvantage. Travel when a child has serious medical conditions for which necessary treatment may not be available at the destination. Travel that involves participation in dangerous activities that put the children at a real risk of being harmed. Travel that is scheduled to unnecessarily interfere with the other parent's parenting time in a way that cannot be addressed by makeup time or other arrangements. Travel with a parent who, for established reasons, will not be able to care properly for the children during the trip, and there will be nobody on the trip who can provide appropriate care for the children. Any travel that could expose the children to criminal activity. From that list, it should be clear that only legitimate and serious concerns will be a reason to deny children the opportunity to travel. So if you want to travel with the kids after separation, what is the process? First, any travel outside the province of Ontario requires either the consent of the other parent or a court order that allows the travel. Airlines should ask to see that consent or the court order before letting you on the plane. Customs officials may not let you into another country without it. It is also possible that the Canadian Border Services Agency will not allow you to leave the country if it knows the travel is without the consent of the other parent. For travel consent, there is no specific form. However, different destinations have different requirements. The Government of Canada has made a travel consent letter available to fill out at travel.gc.ca. That letter should meet the requirements no matter where you want to travel. It also fulfills the requirements for most court orders and parenting agreements for the information a parent must give to the other parent before traveling with the kids.
Oh.
If a court order is necessary because the parent can't get consent from the other parent, things get more complicated. Court orders usually have particular wording allowing a particular trip to a particular destination on particular dates. A judge will need all the details of the trip in an affidavit to make an order. Also remember that judges need a Form 35.1 parenting affidavit to make any parenting order, including one permitting a trip. So a traveling parent must have completed that affidavit. Remember that it can take some time to get a court date, and the court materials must be served on the other parent more than a week before the court date. So you cannot rush to court the day before the trip and expect to get permission. Going to court is something that parents should plan to do at least 6 weeks before the scheduled trip, and only after the traveling parent has tried several times to get permission from the other parent and has written proof that of those attempts to get permission to put in an affidavit to show a judge. Second, any parent planning any travel with the children must do so within his or her parenting time under the parenting agreement or court order. Parents cannot just cancel another parent's parenting time. So if travel plans will interfere with the other parent's parenting time, then the traveling parent has to work things out with the other parent and get consent to the trip, often by getting an agreement to adjust the parenting schedule. However, a parent cannot just refuse to allow a trip if it interferes with his or her parenting time.
Oh.
Some trips just cannot happen with the existing parenting schedule. If the traveling parent has made a reasonable proposal to adjust the parenting schedule in a manner that does not reduce the children's time with the non-traveling parent, then it is very likely the judge will allow the trip and be very upset with the parent who refused. Where there is a reasonable proposal on the table to allow the trip, the non-traveling parent has to have a good reason to refuse the trip.
Ah.
I don't want to adjust the schedule is not a good reason. There has to be a real reason why the timing of the trip would not be good for the kids. Again, a traveling parent should provide all the trip details and the proposal for the travel to the other parent at least 2 to 3 months before the trip to get the non-traveling parent to consider the request and agree to it before going to court. The non-traveling parent cannot agree to the trip without knowing the details, so a judge may not grant an order permitting travel if the traveling parent has not provided the necessary information to the other parent and tried to work out the arrangements to get consent. When a parent refuses the other parent's reasonable request to travel with the kids and the parents do not have a parenting coordinator, then the matter will have to go to court. Not only could that take several weeks, but it will likely cost more than the actual trip. However, as I covered in episode 51, if the non-traveling parent is being unreasonable, he or she may have to pay the costs for the traveling parent to go to court to get the order. How complicated it will be to go to court depends on whether the parties are already in court. If there are already court proceedings underway that have not finished, then the traveling parent may only have to bring a motion in those proceedings. How quickly a parent can bring a motion depends on which courthouse the proceedings are in. In some places, it can take months to get a motion date unless a parent can convince a judge that the matter is a true emergency such that the court should grant a special hearing date. Usually that type of indulgence is restricted to things like child abductions or emergency medical issues, so a travel consent issue may not be important enough for a judge to grant the special court date. If there is no final court order or parenting agreement and there are no court proceedings underway, then the party who needs the court order to travel will have to start court proceedings and then start the court process, which I've described in previous episodes and in my book, before then bringing a motion. However, the case will have to be about more than just the travel issues, so there may be a lot of preparation work, forms, and disclosure to start the court proceedings. If there is a final court order or parenting agreement that does not specifically authorize the traveling parent to travel, then it may be necessary to start a new proceeding called a motion to change, which is a new proceeding to change the existing parenting arrangements. While it is a simplified procedure, it can still take a few steps and some time to get a motion date to address the travel issues.
Okay.
Sometimes a final court order will allow a parent to travel or restrict the basis on which a parent can refuse consent for the children to travel. In that case, it may be possible to bring a specific enforcement motion, which can be the quickest way to deal with this type of issue. But there has to be a final order that is set up to allow that type of motion, which usually means the terms of the order have been carefully formulated by a good family law lawyer. As should be clear from the complexity of these steps, they are not something that can be done in a day or two, and they cost thousands, not hundreds of dollars. So it is very important for a parent who wants to travel to get the information about the trip to the other parent and ask for consent to travel as far in advance of the trip as possible. If there is no response to that request, or it looks like there will be problems, then it's important to speak to a lawyer right away to see if that lawyer can help the parents reach an agreement for the travel.
Why don't you have your lawyer call my lawyer?
Or if that is not possible, to get the matter before the family court if the parent refusing is being unreasonable. There are few reasons that a parent can legitimately refuse a trip, although all of them relate to the threats to the safety of the children. But any parent who tries to interfere with a child's relationship with the other parent is not going to get sympathy from a judge and may get into trouble. But that could be only after a more complicated court process, unless the traveling parent hires a lawyer who is good at finding ways to get an agreement outside of court. You can make an appointment to speak with me or one of my colleagues by calling 416-446-5847. As all these options require some time, planning the trip and arranging for the consent as soon as possible is critical to ensuring the trip goes ahead.
Oh.
If you need some more general family law or children's law guidance, or you need to understand Ontario family law better so you can make better decisions, if you need to know the best parenting options after separation, or if you need to understand how finances work during a marriage or common relationship and after separation or divorce, get a copy of my book, Guide to the Basics of Ontario Family Law. You can access it immediately on the iBook Store, on Amazon for the Kindle version, or you can download it for Kobo. Amazon can deliver the paperback version directly to your doorstep. You can also get a lot more family law information on www.schumannlaw.ca. Not only are there hundreds of pages of family law information links, but there are links to get my book and links to reach my office to meet with either me or one of my colleagues. You can also set up an appointment to speak to us by calling 416-446-547. It is always best to get a lawyer who can give you expert advice to your situation. In addition to my website, keep up to date on family and children's law issues by liking my Facebook page, following me on Twitter at @HumanFamLaw, and finding me on LinkedIn. Of course, please subscribe to my YouTube channel and hit the notification bell to keep up to date. You can get the audio versions of the Ontario Family Law Podcast on all major podcast services, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many more. Or you can get all the episodes at www.schumannlaw.ca. Just look for podcasts in the drop-down menu. Thanks for participating in this podcast. We will get together again soon.